sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God, who dominates the waves of the sea, pulls you up, and never leaves you. Amen. This is a text about chaos. Jesus tries to find some peace. At the very beginning of this passage, he dismisses the crowds, puts the disciples on a boat, says, "I'll catch up," goes to a quiet place to rest and pray alone, away from the chaos. Let's start with that. Sometimes we need that too. I don't think this is what the whole passage is about, but this is the starting place. Jesus himself needs just a minute. Sometimes we can take just a minute. Sometimes we're able to do it. You know, maybe that looks like a little vacation, like the summer. Maybe it's a silent retreat. Maybe it's a cup of coffee and a short devotion. Maybe that's it, just something in the morning. But we need that. It's helpful to see Jesus himself seek that out. And I read that he takes it. I read that he does get that quiet moment. Some might read that he only tries to find it, like he's headed off to a quiet place, but then he couldn't. But as I read the text and look back at it yourself, I think he gets that. It says, in the next morning, then he comes out onto the sea. He does get that quiet evening. And I think that's important. If you're only reading that Jesus is trying to find the quiet time, but doesn't, it's almost like, yeah, see, so us too. Duty calls, so we have to never stop. I'm glad that we have a leader, a Christ, an anointed one who gets away and prays from time to time. He doesn't ever stay away, but silence, solitude, stillness, even Jesus needs these things, apparently. We start with that. We start with that, and then the storm. The sea in Scripture is always a symbol of death and chaos. That's true in Mark's gospel, and it's certainly true here in Matthew's gospel. It's the ultimate uncontrollable, the sea. It's the ultimate unknown monster. Now, we have a lot more tools today. We have a lot more technology to try to understand the sea, but it's still true in so many ways. And certainly back then, like today, the weather patterns on the Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, always were crazy. Winds coming off the Mediterranean, and then you got mountains, and then you got heat. Storms would come out of nowhere there and often take little boats down. There is literal storm danger here for the disciples. And also, this is, of course, a metaphor for the storms, the chaos, the uncontrollable monsters in our lives. I think of not just one-time chaotic and traumatic storms and tragedies either. It's not just that. It's not just terrifying incidents, and plenty of those. It's also long seasons, chronic situations that are maybe not as traumatic from day to day, but over the long haul, so scary, so stressful. Those are often the storms that do the most damage, just slowly eroding. Long drawn out health concerns and conditions, fears about our well-being and the well-being of our loved ones. Slow, frightening financial declines and stressors. I don't think I need to dwell on this. I think everyone has a stormy sea or two in their lives. Many here in our communities, certainly around the world, have multiple storms as we speak. Ponder for a moment the storms in your life, the storms you've been through, the storms you're in right now, or the darkening cloud formations on the near horizon. I don't think this is hard for any of us to do. Everyone knows chaos and fear at some level. Children start having nightmares at early ages. terror creeps into our lives. I don't have to tell you this. And sometimes it crashes down on us like that storm we had here in Fairfax on Monday evening. Sadly, this is nothing new. The disciples' fear in that boat when the storm first arose is nothing new. But then they see Jesus walking, stomping down the waves of the sea. Now that is new and different. There's a powerful image there too of Jesus walking, understanding kind of history and culture of that time. The bottom side of the foot is a dominating thing. To put your foot on someone is to dominate and demean them. And same with putting your foot on the sea. Jesus was stomping down the chaos of the sea in that image. Peace amid the storm. Let's sit with that for a moment. The sea, always both a symbol of literal chaos and always figurative chaos. Here's Jesus walking on it, crushing the waves underfoot. Friends, we have a God who, let's not forget, is above the waves. Remember in Genesis, that's not a new image here in the New Testament. Back in Genesis, the Spirit of God, the Ruach, that's the Hebrew word, the breath of God brooding over the waters. Like, I got this, God says. I got this. God has always dominated the indomitable. The indomitable sea. And the disciples forget that for a moment in their immediate fear. So Jesus shows up to remind them how we too can forget Christ's presence and Christ's sovereignty over the sea, over the chaos, over the terror of this life and this world so easily. Many of us might forget as soon as we leave church today, right? The waves are just so big. There can't possibly be a God to face them. So hold on to this image, however you see it in your mind's eye, of Jesus walking down the sea, stomping on the waves. Hold on to that. And then Jesus speaks to them. Take heart, he says. Many translators say, have courage, is maybe a better translation. Do not be afraid. It's me. And actually the Greek for that, ego eimi. It's not it's me, it's I am. Or I am here. I'm present. Have courage. Don't be afraid. I am here. Hold on to this image too. Hold on to these words, friends in Christ. These words give us strength to do some pretty bold things. Peter steps out of the boat right in the middle of the chaos with those words. Jesus' actions are powerful. Jesus' words are powerful. Christ's invitation is powerful. Come, Jesus says. And Peter starts to do it. He starts walking on the water because of Jesus' words. Friends, how are you getting out of the boat in the midst of the chaos? How are you trying at least to trust the promise of Jesus, that promise of I am here? I am. Where is Christ inviting you to step into something new, albeit scary? Are you able to trust the promise? I am here. I've been with two dear family members this summer. One a family member by marriage and one by choice, who both have changed career paths midlife in their 40s. One of the bravest moves, I think. Others of you have done this too as well, I know. Stepped out of the boat. Talk about stepping out of the boat. I am proud to know people like this, to call them family. It's so exciting to hear their stories of like, what got you to that point? It's powerful. They have taken heart, to use words from this text. I love Peter. So courageous. Like Jill, like Jay. And he does it I mean, he walks on water. His eyes set on Jesus. He gets out of the boat and walks on water just like Jesus. Let's sit with that. I mean, we know what's going to happen, but let's just sit with Peter walking on the water. Where is Christ inviting you, calling you, even if it's scary, to get out of the boat, to walk on the water? And as you follow that voice of Jesus, you do these amazing things. So many stories I think we could tell here. So many instances of finding yourselves in incredible places, doing incredible things, right? And then, I mean, there's so many scenes in this text for today. And the next scene, well, we lose focus. We lose focus on the one who conquers the sea, who crushes chaos underfoot. We start seeing all the waves like Peter, all the things that can go wrong, all the monsters swirling around, even if they're not even real, by the way. All the loans accruing, all the challenges of this new path that we're on. And well, remember what Peter's nickname becomes later in the gospel? Just two chapters later here in Matthew, Jesus names Peter, do you remember? Rock. And what do rocks do in water? Never really put that together. Yeah, just in case. I mean, rock is a compliment in other ways and in the context when Jesus calls him rock. But what do rocks do? I love this. Just in case you thought you could go it alone. Just in case your bold move of stepping out of the boat, whatever that means, walking new paths, doing amazing things, turns into something that you think you did all on your own, just in case you forget who invited you out there in the first place, we have this next scene. Jesus pulls him up. How we forget, friends in Christ, how we lose sight of Jesus, how we get distracted and get scared, or even just get full of ourselves. I almost see Peter looking around and starting to kind of strut a little bit. You know, I got this. And then, whoa. Just in case you steal the Spirit of God's line at the very beginning of the great drama of time, remember, brooding over the waters, and you say instead, I got this. Looking around. You think you're all that, you know? How we too can start to sink like a rock. But Jesus pulls us up, friends in Christ. Jesus reaches down, takes us by the hand, and lifts us out. Returns us to the gathered community, calls us out of our lack of faith. You have little faith, you know? That means you took your eyes off of me. Calls us out on our thinking we can go it alone, getting full of ourselves. Only Jesus goes it alone. Remember the very beginning of this text. We never are alone. Only Jesus goes it alone. And then finally, together, they worshiped him. That's where we end. In praise, in thanksgiving. That's all we can do. You know I love that quote from Rainer Maria Rilke, the German mystic poet. Praise, my dear ones, he writes. Let us disappear into praising. Nothing belongs to us. Yeah, that's it. In the end, all we can do is worship God, like we're doing here today. All we can do is trust God. Let God pull us out of the waters of chaos and into new life, back to the community, and know that we are never alone. Even when we sink, God is. God is here. God dominates the waves, and God's got you. So keep on adventuring. Keep on worshiping God together. In Jesus' name, amen.
All of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.